So the title of the talk, it's a short talk to kind of kickstart the retreat. And basically the title is Being Still and Embracing Our Life. And we do naturally have expectations when we go into a retreat, and maybe many of us, it wasn't easy to get here, and we had to make a big effort and think about it a lot and register weeks ago, and so we do have a kind of expectations from retreat, and the expectations are usually that we will have special experiences, that we will experience calmness, we will experience insights, we will experience something different, we will experience what we miss, something missing in our life that we will, the retreat will provide. And this is very natural, but we have to be kind of clear that the experiences that we do have, special experiences, are actually not in our hands. We can't really design our experience. So when things happen, they're not happening like because we had an order in the restaurant and we say we want the tafrit, I want calm plus special kinuach of love, and it we can't make orders for experience. Experiences happen when they happen, and they're not in our hands. We have to remember that. And sometimes the opposite of what we expect will happen. For example, we really want calmness, and all we are faced with is a lot of noise in the mind. And we forget that the awareness shows us our noise that usually we don't notice. And then we think, oh my God, my mind is in such a noise. But it's just that we mostly don't know the noise of the mind. So it's actually a benefit, but we think it's a problem. So basically, we have to understand that we bring ourselves into a retreat. And we will carry on being ourselves in this retreat. As the old expression, the truth that we discover at the top of the mountain is the truth that we bring up there in the first place. So we carry ourselves here and we carry on being ourselves here. And so we just to be aware of that. However, we have the possibility of looking at our same self from another point of view. And this is where the stopping and the refuge, the miklat, the viveka, have a power. Same person, but we can look a little bit at the same person from another place. And the reason is that the same person will have the same thoughts, the same ideas, the same intentions, the same history, the same kind of personality, and the same face, and so on. But it's not functioning in order to function. So in our normal life, we are doing ourselves to be functional. So we have thoughts, ideas, intentions, actions, personality, job, work, relationships, and so on, all built, and we're doing it. We're busy with it, and it's functional. Here, we're the same person doing the same things, but they don't go anywhere. We sit quietly and we watch it. And that makes a difference. The non-functioning, the non-automatic chain of being ourselves and acting in the world in an tayas automati, automatic pilot, stops. And so we don't give it encouragement. We stop the game. And instead, it doesn't lead anywhere. We're just not going anywhere. And this is the bit of stopping and standing still. We're just not going anywhere with all of the chain of being ourselves. It doesn't feed anything. And so we can feel that we're not... There's a very powerful image in the Dharma, which is also a bit scary, which is about our functional life, which is that our life is like being on a boat in the river, and we're being swept along by the river, and we hang on to a branch saying, stop, stop, I want to stop, but we cannot. It's too strong, so we have to let go of the branch. So we hang on another branch, I want, stop, stop, I'm being swept along. And we cannot. We get pulled further. So we keep trying to hang on to branches and stop this boat that's sweeping us down the river, and we cannot. And so here, in a way, we are stopping the boat. Reminds me of a very similar story in Winnie the Pooh. Because Winnie the Pooh, when he fell out of the tree, I don't know if you remember the story, but he was climbing and climbing and climbing, and then he fell. And he fell on a branch, and he said, oh dear, and then fell on another, oh no, and on another branch. I was just trying, and another branch. It didn't work, another branch. Oh, bam, boom, bang, bang, and landed on the ground. And then he looked at himself and he said, it's all because I like honey. And I think we've got to be aware of our life is a bit like that, you know. We go from boom, 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 boom in our daily life, functioning, getting up in the morning, having our coffee, going to work, or getting the children off to school or whatever it is, and ending up in the end of the day, kind of. And it's a bit like, all because we want honey. So, in the Buddhist tradition, this is called samsara. And the samsara is defined as a wheel which goes round and carries us round. And there is something in that that is a chain of things that keep going round and round the wheel of ordinary existence. And I call it functional life, I call it many things, and you have your own descriptions of it. But what we can do here is, in a way, just get off the wheel and stop. And instead of being swept along rather helplessly in our life, we have a chance to step out, being the same person still, but saying, where am I? Who am I now? What's going on in me? I'm not going to be swept along. I'm stepping out. So there's basically in our practice two ways, I mean many more ways, but I'm just going to point out two places very broadly, very big picture of the way we can step out. The first way is, I would say, more existential. Kiyumi. And that is a place where we are interested in the unconditioned, what is halomutne, what is not conditioned, we are becoming more interested in things which are not the chain that driving our life. What does that mean? If we are aware of the sky above and the earth under our feet and the stars at night and the way the tree is so quiet and dignified and the earth that we walk on and the breath that we breathe and the touch of our hands and the sounds in and the birds in the sky in the trees, we're actually not in that chain anymore. We're in a place which is not us so much. It's connected to life itself. And we can feel that in a breath. It's connecting us to life itself. And there, in a way, we're out of the chain. So as much, usually we do know this, but it's always in the very sort of minun katan, a small moments in our life where we just stop and feel our life as it is without the point of view of me and what I need and what I think and what ought to happen and what experiences, like, you know, the whole. So we need in this retreat one place to be is constantly to be interested and open places which are not about my story and our life itself, which is not ours. And it's just as much as we can be interested in that. For example, we can say, okay, I'm breathing, and I know breathing practice is helpful for calming and for opening mindfulness, awareness. But let's go underneath the breath into a place that's more subtle, that's the energy body, that's the flow of energy in the body that doesn't belong to me. That's just a flow of touch and a flow of life in the body, and just enjoy that life in the body. And that place, if we pay attention and interested in those kind of places, we are not in our story and we are not in the chain of functioning and the chain of being swept by conditioning. We can do that with any object. I know it might seem strange, but if we look at an object, any object, from a deeply aware place, we see this object as silent, reminding us of quietness, of existence, of something that is not ours. We don't even know in the end what this thing is. We call it a striker, we call it something, but that's just a name. It's an object. It reminds us of just materials. It's nothing. We can do it with a mind. We can look at the mind as just awareness. And we can catch that for moments, and that's not ours. It's just mind. It's just awareness. It's just consciousness. Catch moments of consciousness, which are these existential places where we're stepping out of the chain of samsara. It's just awareness. We're just being. We're just there. We're aware. That's all. And maybe for moments we can just feel it. Not aware of. Just aware. Just here. Just being. And give those places interest. So I would say that's the, in a way, the Buddha nature, or the places of existential awareness of life. And we all know it. We sit by the sea and just feel, ah, wow, endless. And it's a different mind. The other side, so that's one place to be interested in, which is really stepping out into life, stepping out of the story. The other place is stepping into the story. And this we are more familiar with as vipassana, as awareness of what's going on inside us, attention to who we are, to the conditioning, to the issues. And this is also part of the practice, which is naming and knowing the issues that arise, that come by themselves, holding dukkha or difficulty or stress or habit or conditioning or pressure or memory or pains, holding them in our hand and saying, yeah, I see you. And we become interested in what is the content instead of just acting it in our life and just doing it. We say, yeah, wait a minute. Now, who am I? Oh, I'm this story. Oh, I'm this memory. Oh, I'm this impression. Oh, I'm this feeling. Okay, I name it, I see it. And of course, they come and go. They are phenomena that arise and come and go. So I would say, in a very broad sense, what we can do in this retreat is be interested in these precious moments of just existence and give them more space and more power and more value. Because sometimes they're very subtle, that we don't seem interesting. But they are interesting. And the other side is working with content, tochen, and being freer with the tochen as it comes, as it goes, as it comes, as it goes, saying, yes, okay, this is me, this is my stories, this is my experiences, they come and go, they come and go. So you could say the existence side is a tahor, the pure, and working with content is tihur, is purification, is working with material. And we go from one to the other. The moment of breathing is just very pure, and doesn't have any problem in it. And then a moment of working with issue that comes in the mind, it seems like a problem, but we take the problem out of it. It's just a passing thought. So both purity, purification, we go from one to the other. And both of them together will show us our big being that we are, all of us. Thank you.